Asthmatics around the world may soon be able to breathe easier. Scientists at Plant and Food Research have found that a compound in black currants can reduce inflammation in lung cells. While human trials are still needed, the laboratory-based study seems to show that black currants could provide a natural alternative for people who suffer from allergy-induced asthma. So that's fascinating. Ruth Barron meets with Roger Hurst to find out more.
So, Roger, this door says Cell Culture Laboratory.
Yes, this is one of our laboratories where we do cell culture work in plant and food. So if we just go in,
yeah.
I'll show you. So this is pretty much it. So essentially we've got two machines behind you here. These are cell incubators. So the cells are being kept in those incubators in an environment that keeps them very happy.
What sort of cells?
We've actually got a range of cells, but for the work that we're discussing right now, these are lung cells, human lung cells that we've got from tissue banks.
Okay, and what do you do with the lung cells?
In a sense, we need to manipulate them and expose them to inflammation type agents, the work that we've done. And we use this apparatus. So this is a flow hood. So in this sort of situation, we take the cells from the incubator, manipulate them in this here, give them media that we feed the cells, and put the cells into other plates, which are individual wells. And they allow us to have controls and different conditions. So we set the cells in those wells, grow them for a period of time, then expose the cells to the inflammation-inducing agents that is simulating inflammation in asthma. We do that with and without fruit extracts. And then after that period of time, we take samples of the media that's bathing those cells and measure the inflammation response from the cells with or without the fruit extracts.
Can we take a look at some of the lung cells?
Sure, yeah. So this is the incubator. Just to highlight to you that it's a controlled environment. So the dial here shows you 37. So this is the temperature of the body, so it's simulating temperature. And this is the level of CO2 that's being pumped into this chamber. So it's maintained at 5%. So that essentially keeps the right pH, the right acid, alkaline balance for the cells to keep them happy. So it's simulating the body. So this flask here contains the lung cells.
And you're taking the cover off the microscope.
Yes. So routinely we need to look at the cells to make sure that they're happy before we put them in the wells for the experiments. So I've just turned the light on. So do you want to have a look?
I'd love to have a look.
It's quite hard to describe what we're looking at.
So, I mean, this is just a liquid in that flask, isn't it?
Yes. Essentially, it's just a flask that keeps them in an enclosed environment so that they're not getting contaminated by microbes. The liquid is... again, just keeps them happy. It's full of various nutrients and vitamins and glucose. And we change that fairly routinely, like feeding the cells, like having a meal, essentially.
Okay, I'll take a look down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So essentially what you're seeing there is what we describe as a monolayer of cells. So these are human lung epithelial cells. So they form a cobblestone type appearance when they grow on a flat layer, which mimics the lining of the lung.
Yep. And are these coloured?
Not really as such. You're looking at under a phase contrast microscope. That's the only way that you could see them, actually. So it's a slightly diffracted light.
Yeah, because they kind of look a little bit grey or blue.
Yes. And the medium itself gives a bit of colour too sometimes. To the trained eye, what you would be looking at is that monolayer that you see, like a cobblestone type appearance. Also the nuclei, and the sort of nice granular cytoplasm. And sometimes the cells can get a bit sick if you don't look after them appropriately. So it tells you need to feed them, etc. And you'll see little granules appearing in the cytoplasm that don't look so good. So it's part of the process.
So you use the microscope just to check that they're healthy?
Yes.
And then what would you do with them?
We'd move them to the hood here.
Yep.
This is a plate which we grow the cells in. We're taking it out in the hood here, which is keeping things sterile. We don't want bacteria to interfere with the processes here at all. So we can basically take those cells off that flask using an enzyme that digests their interactions with the plastic so that they lift off as individual cells. And we can place those individual cells in these wells that you can see here.
So there's 12 wells
in a plastic tray.
And what, you'd have one individual cell in each well? How many would you have?
No, so we have that defined in our protocols, and we adjust that to depends on what experiments we're doing. So we put a certain number of cells, and it'd be in the hundreds of thousands, and that would then take a few days to grow up. So the monolayer that you just looked at under the microscope that's here would be in each one of those wells.
And growing as a monolayer on the bottom of the well?
Yep, yeah, exactly, with the nice media on the top keeping them happy.
And what sort of tests do you do on them?
Essentially then, we then have the cells in a situation whereby we can try and mimic the inflammation that occurs in asthma. And we've picked on one key step. And so what we do is we then expose the cells to key cytokines that occur in asthma. These are inflammation signaling molecules. And they would liberate other molecules to be generated that are part of the pathology of asthma. And the molecule that we've published on is a molecule called eotaxin, which recruits eosinophils. It's an immune cell type into the lung. So that's a key point in asthma. So we would expose the cells in this situation to an inflammatory mediator. We would do that over probably 24 hours, depending on what we were looking for. And we would do that with or without fruit extracts that we've got here too. So that if the fruit extracts are modulating that inflammation, we would see that response subsequently. So after the 24-hour period, we would take samples of the medium at the top, which would have that eotaxin in there, and we would measure that by different processes within the laboratory.
So high levels would mean what?
Well, high levels is what we're looking for, so that's the induced inflammation, and we would be looking for the modulation, the decrease of that high level by the fruit extracts, and essentially that's what we picked up for black currant in the publication that we've just submitted.
Do you need to put these back in the incubator?
Yes. If we were setting this plate up, we would then put this back in the incubator for that 24-hour period. They can't really stay in this environment for very long.
Well, maybe we should put them back, because
yes,
I'd hate
absolutely.
For your lung cells to die on me.
Thank you.
We might turn the hood off now.
Okay. Yep.
So tell me about the work that you've just published.
Yeah, so at Plant and Food Research, what we've developed here is a capability to look at a key step in the inflammation process for asthma. And we're interested in fruits and vegetables at modifying inflammation where it's inappropriate. So we've screened a number of fruits, actually, and we've come up with a lead with black currant. So black currant seems to quite convincingly decrease the inflammation, bring the inflammation control back to a level where it's appropriate. And we've taken that work to another step and looked at different sub-extracts of the black currant and tried to identify what actives might be involved. And the data seems to suggest that one particular compound seems to be active in black currants. It's called epigallocatechin.
That's easy for you to say.
Not always, no.
And what is that?
Essentially, it's a minor compound in black currant, as it is in many other fruits, but seems to have quite powerful activity in this particular sense. So it's an anthocyanin antioxidant type of compound that most people generally understand anyway. They're high in fruits.
So would you take, what, an extract of black currant and then be able to take out the molecules that you're particularly looking for? Or can you just purchase them off the shelf?
A bit of both, actually. In the study that we've just published, that was sort of the approach. We took a whole black currant fruit extract, saw some activity, broke it into components, and looked for functionality in those components, and it basically focused us in into one. And then we knew what compounds, or the majority of the compounds in that sub-extract, bought the standards, which you can buy from various organisations, and tested those individually. And that's how epigallocatechin came through as an indicator of an active component.
What were the results that you found? What were the sort of percentage reduction in inflammation?
Depends on the dose. And again, they're cell studies, so you know they don't necessarily relate to the human level. And again, that's work that we need to come through. The doses were not high, but they're hard to relate to the amount of fruit because it is a minor component. So it is hard to make those links at this stage.
But you can't put a figure then on how much?
The control we saw was pretty good. So we're talking about 80% control.
Right.
Yes.
That's a large figure.
Yeah. But it is one step in the inflammation process. So we do need to understand further steps as well. And it may be that there are other fruits in combination with black currant that could be, you know, even more effective.
Are all black currants created equal?
I think the definitive answer to that is no. So, you know, there are a number of commercial black currants that are grown in New Zealand and obviously in other countries across the world. And essentially what we see is some diversity in the compounds that are present in black currant. So in a sense, it offers that opportunity to create products that could give specific benefits for certain situations, which is what we're actually quite excited by.
Would the idea then be that someone could take an extract rather than having the black currant?
Potentially, yes. I mean, we see this work as being valuable in a number of ways. We have large breeding programs at Plant and Food Research in which we are breeding fruits like blackcurrant, making selections. So this sort of information can go back to those breeding programs, the breeders, to say breed a blackcurrant that's particularly high in epigallocatechin. So that you end up with a product, a whole fruit product that could be beneficial for people that suffer with asthma, as an example. Equally, you could maybe isolate the active component and produce, with some more research, understandably, functional food type products, juices or snack bars, etc., that could lead to benefit too. So those are the outcomes that we can see as possible. In the long term, I have to emphasise, this is very preliminary research.
Yeah, because we've just been looking at lung cells, and that's what you've obviously tested this on.
Yes.
What about, you know, putting it into people? Maybe a fair way off.
It is a fair way off. I mean, the research is preliminary, and then this is lab-based, and hopefully, you know, maybe take it to a human trial level in a few years' time.
When you say take it to human trial level, do you actually have to take an extract from it first to be able to do that, or would you just ask people to eat black currants?
In this instance, you know, we're talking about foods and we're talking about fruit. So it's a natural product, so we don't envisage any issues at all, and we'd prefer to use the fruit, probably, I guess. There's a number of commercial products that are out there that are made from blackcurrant, so equally they could be viable in this sense. But feeding fruit to consumers, people that might suffer from asthma, would be absolutely a wonderful thing to do.
And would they take it before they... I mean, what's the idea? When would you eat this?
Those are the sorts of questions that we need to understand in our studies. It is preliminary. We can see a control of a step, but in terms of doses, when you should take it, you know, those are the sorts of things that we need to detail out over the next few years.
Because I guess you wouldn't recommend that if someone's having an asthma attack that they go out and have some black currants.
No, not necessarily. I mean, really, you know, the key point here is we're talking about foods. So we're not talking about treating disease as such. We're not advocating that anything that we might provide from plant food substitutes for pharmaceutical drugs that your GP might give you. This is preventative type approach, offering another natural alternative to assist with disease control.
Interesting though. Roger Hurst from Plant and Food Research.